No, we'll bounce along. And listen, kind of sad news this week, I think, for a lot of people, that Corka Dorka Theatre Company, which was really, I think, a kind of a piece of divine madness that could only have come out of Cork, is no more. And Pat Kiernan, Artistic Director of Corka Dorka, is with me now. How's it going, Pat?
Good, brilliant.
Yeah. I haven't seen you since, I think, the Freshers Co-op in 1989, was it? You tried to make an actor of me at one stage.
But, I think I remember you being in I Do Not Like Thee, Dr. Fell.
That was it? Joe Fell, yeah. I think you came in to rescue it, basically, at one stage. The production was falling apart, you were a fixer even then. So listen, Pat, Corka Dorka has been at the centre of Cork cultural life, really, for kind of 30 years now.
91 we set up, yeah.
Yeah. So what happened?
I suppose a couple of things happened, really. I suppose, first of all, that I think the model of the company, as was set up at the Arts Council initially, you know, policy changes, keeps changing in terms of with the Arts Council. And there was an awful lot more responsibility on a theatre company, arts organisation, in terms of different boxes you needed to tick in terms of all worthwhile things as well, like inclusion and diversity, mentoring. You know, we set up in the Triskel space there, the Theatre Development Centre, and effectively just there was too much of a squeeze on us to be able to do all those things and make work.
So the primary, now I know you're saying that diversity and mentoring and all those things are good, but like,
absolutely.
But the primary work was getting squeezed by kind of bureaucracy in a way,
yeah.
And that's a shame. Would you like to have kept going with it?
Well, I mean, I suppose, you know, in some ways, I think I will be keeping going.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't see myself stopping or the kind of work that I want to make. But I mean, in many ways, the squeeze of that didn't allow me or the company to make the work that we had been making previously.
Okay. You know? So like really, in a way, Corka Dorka started as a guerrilla kind of operation. So it sounds like you're going back underground maybe and just being a bit more agile in how you do things.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, you must be very proud of the work you did down the years. And indeed, some of the people you gave a start are still getting a bit of work, like Cillian Murphy, Eileen Walsh, Enda Walsh. What are your favourite memories down the year, do you think?
I mean, there would be an awful lot of them, I suppose, with all the three of those. Was on one show, Disco Pigs, which was kind of a show that really put us on the map.
Yeah,
nationally and internationally, and it was a very active choice at the time as well to make a portable show that we could tour, because up to that point, you know, with a lot of the work that we would have made and did make was site specific, which meant that it didn't have the potential to tour or go beyond Cork. With that show, it was very, like, we did it in the space in the Triskel that, you know, that the Theatre Development Centre is in now, you know, a tiny 80 seats, and
it was kind of experimental theatre really at the time when you think about it, but you wouldn't have thought it was going to go on to become a commercial juggernaut.
No, and not only was it kind of in its style was it relatively experimental, but equally in terms of its language, because it was kind of a bastardised Cork language that didn't even make sense, you know. It was deliberately heightened. So the idea of, I remember being in Copenhagen with a Danish audience and them getting it. So I suppose,
In a funny way, though, is it that the more localised a thing is, the more universal it can be in a way, like?
Well, I think there's a certain truth to that, I think.
And then you mentioned the site specific, and this was, I suppose, the amazing thing about Corka Dorka in a way, is they were like, you know, those mandalas that the monks take great care to make, and then they just sweep it up and it's gone, like, and that's it, you let it go. So you did things that could never be replicated anywhere else, like, as I say, it was divine madness in a way. So you did kind of the Stations of the Cross, the Crucifixion up Patrick's Hill.
So that was Conal Creedon. A writer spoke to me about that, about the idea of Patrick's Hill being like Calvary, and also up on Bell's Field. When you're on Bell's Field, You can see, I think it's a 13 spires of churches from there.
Yeah.
So regardless of your beliefs, the impact of religion or that date. So we did it on Good Friday of 2000 for the millennium.
Yeah.
So it was, I think, for 6,000 people. So they gathered and followed Jesus up Patrick's Hill as Calvary. And then the crucifixion took place on Bellsfield, overlooking the city and the churches. Yeah,
extraordinary. And once and never again.
Once, yeah. Yeah.
Did they have tickets, by the way, or could anyone just rock up?
It was ticketed. I can't remember, actually. It was ticketed, but I mean, you had to get a ticket to be allowed
so
in.
So you cordoned off the whole area. But you see, where else would you get away with doing it?
Actually, it was the walls of Jerusalem were on the bottom of Patrick's Hill, yeah.
Yeah, wow. And then Shakespeare was in Fitzgerald's Park, wasn't it? You did?
We did a good few Shakespeares. We did Midsummer Night's Dream in Fitzgerald's Park. We did The Tempest in Fitzgerald's Park, and we did The Merchant of Venice for Capital Culture 2005, which took place kind of all over the city. It began over in the old distillery there opposite the Mercy Hospital. The court scene took place in the courthouse, but it was projected then onto the courthouse for the people that couldn't get in to the courthouse.
Amazing.
So, so it was multi-location, yeah.
And did you do it with the original text?
Yes, however, that we did, I cast Polish actors in the roles of the Jews, because at the time there was a lot of, it was, I suppose, the beginning of kind of immigration here and noticeable. And I remember that I saw something in Macroom that there somebody had on the main street, F.U. blank blank off Poles. In Macroom. So we cast Polish actors in the roles of the Jews as the kind of the minority in the play.
Yeah, it's extraordinary stuff. What any others that we want to remind people of?
I think for me, something that more recently would have been Faraway, which was that we did in Spike Island, so the audience had to go out boat to the show. With Paulie McGlean and Judith Roddy and Manus Halligan, which was a really big, you know, it was a massive show. I think there was something like 100 kilometres of cabling in it to cover the space, both for sound and lighting, you know. And very recently, then we were in New York this year with a new Enda Walsh play, the same with Eileen Walsh in it and her sister Catherine Walsh, which was brilliant to go over there to the Irish Arts Centre and present that there. So they're all, I mean, like the thing about theatre, and I suppose the thing about now as well for me is that, like every theatre show is a new show.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's not like you can't phone it in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So each and every one of them would be, would bring off fond memories, but also learnings and excitement and, you know, friendships.
Yeah. Yeah. And making life very hard as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And come here, the other thing he did was kind of used spaces, I suppose, that spoke to work in terms of, like, you did A Clockwork Orange in Sir Henry's, which kind of has a certain poetic symmetry to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I suppose at the time in Sir Henry's that it was the kind of the dance scene had taken off, and more so in Cork than anywhere else in Ireland, and it was seen to be by a lot of people this kind of den of iniquity. And I suppose the parallels then with the Clockwork Orange in terms of the Corova milk bar and the dosages there, that was kind of, you know, so it had an immediate symmetry, both in terms of the place, the text, and the content of what the work was. And I suppose that's what you'd always be attempting to achieve.
Yeah. You must be a little bit sad that era is over for you, is it?
I am, but, you know, to be honest with you, I kind of felt that sadness a couple of years ago, more so.
Why?
Because I wasn't in the position to be able to make work like that.
To do what you needed to.
And, for the company, that was Finn Flynn, who worked with us for years, and then subsequently other people who came in as company manager, and just the workload was too much, basically, to keep going.
Okay, well, listen, you've an extraordinary body of work that you can look back on anyway. And what will you do next?
Well, actually, I have a show on in Limerick tonight, Red Army. So it finishes, actually, there's a matinee and a nighttime show tonight about Munster rugby for fanatical female middle-aged Munster fans around the weekend that Anthony Foley died. So that's gone really well this week. It opened on Monday. And I'd recommend people to go and see that.
Obviously, you would. Okay. Pat Kiernan, extra Corkadurka. Thank you very much. Are you going to see any jazz?
I'm not, no.
No? Not a jazz weekend person?
I have to say, it never did it for me.
Okay, we'll leave that there, so we'll take a break. Pat Kiernan, thank you.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.